Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Sunday morning at South Haven. It's my privilege and pleasure to welcome our members and our guests and those that are at home or on vacation joining us. For our guests, we'd like for you to take the Connect card that's in the bulletin and fill it out, give us some information, drop it off with the pastor. He's got a gift for you out at the meet and greet area so that they can get into contact with you and get to know a little bit more about you. By way of announcements, our Discover South Haven, that's our membership class. There's another one coming up. That information is in the bulletin. You can use the Connect card to sign up for that. That's a way to come and learn about our mission here at South Haven and to see what the membership process is all about. Ladies, this coming weekend is the Encounter Retreat, and today is the last day for you to register. So if you haven't done that, QR code up on the screen in your bulletin, or you can go to the church website and sign up for that. Lastly, every year at this time as a church body, we give to the Annie Armstrong offering. All of the monies that are given to this goes to help support missions and missionaries, take the gospel to those who haven't heard. So we've got a little video just to talk about the Annie Armstrong, so take a look at the video.
America, wherever God is calling the people to go and reach the lost, hopeless, and many are there. We are the American Education Board, the big cities, and small towns, and college campuses, and underground communities. Anywhere and everywhere there are people who need to hear the gospel, we are there. We come alongside you and your church to send thousands of missionaries to plant new churches everywhere for everyone.
$10,000. So we ask that you prayerfully consider what you can give to that, and let's take our small part and just blow it out the waters and send to keep that fuel and that fire going, fan the flame. claims for Annie Armstrong offering throughout the world. Now, join me in a word of prayer, please. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come to your house to worship you and praise you together as you have commanded us to corporately gather with one another so that we can lift up your name, lift up our voices to sing you praises and to give you all the glory. I pray that you be with our music ministry and with our pastor as he brings our message. Speak to our hearts in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kevin. What a great word picture there in regard to fueling missions. I love that thought. We set goals here at South Haven, and then we exceed them. And so I do echo that you prayerfully consider what you can give to help missionaries. Now, for those of you who are guests this morning, this is a missions church. We give to missions, we pray for missions, and we send missions. And we're going to commission some missionaries here in a bit. But we're here also to worship. So let's stand together. Let's lift up some songs to prepare our hearts to receive God's word this morning. It's all about Him. Let's sing.
My heart is overwhelmed, and I cannot hear your voice. I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead is steep, I will lift these hands and pray, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Yeah. Come down and rescue me. Come down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. My heart is filled with woe, every promise comes my way, and I feel your hand to praise, rest upon me. Staying fast before you, God, staying humble at your feet, I will give these hands to praise, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Yeah. The King down and rescue me. The King down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. church.
I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I see heaven behind my soul. I am yours. I am forever yours.
Amen. Hallelujah. Continue. I started Ladies Echo. You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you.
All of my days.
All of my days.
I will sing to you and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. For my trust and I will stand my life for you. All right, let's do it again. Nice start. You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you.
All of my days.
All of my Prince of Peace, I live in my heart for you.
Amen. Oh, that's so much fun.
That's great.
We are here today because the unimaginable grace that He has given us. Sing with Nathan on these words.
This anchor for my soul, this everlasting hope, your grace on which I stand. It's where my life begins, my future held within, your grace on which I stand. Oh, grace on which I stand, it will hold me to the end, never fail me. Oh, praise the one who rescued me, Jesus, you will ever be my salvation. And when I'm on the run, the road that leads me home, your grace on which I stand. And when I see your face, the only claim I'll make, your grace on which I stand. And this grace on which I stand, it will hold me to the end, never fail me. And praise the one who rescued me, Jesus, you will ever be my salvation. And this grace on which I stand, it will hold me to the end, never fail me. And praise the one who rescued me, Jesus, you will ever be my salvation. Thank you.
next week, we are going to send a team of missionaries to Costa Rica, and I'm going to invite them to come forward. At this time, they're going to come forward here. Every time we have a mission team go out, we have what a commissioning service. And what that means is they come forward, and then we invite anyone who wants to come up and lay hands on them and gather around them and pray with them and for them as they go out. Why do we do this? Well, number one, it's been going on for almost 2,000 years because in the first century church, this is what they did. And so we are participating in something that has been going on for almost 2,000 years in sending out missionaries. And it also reminds us that these faces, that we can be praying for them throughout this whole journey as they go. So I want to invite anyone right now who wants to come and gather around these folks and pray for them. And I'm coming down, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. Strong name of Jesus. And Father, we are thankful for the grace that we have been given, but God, we know that there are many in the world today that need that grace, that need that mercy, that need that salvation, which we've just sung. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go before this team and already begin that work in the hearts and lives of the people they will encounter in airports, in buses, in transportation, and when they get to Costa Rica. God, I pray that they would be ready at any given moment to give the hope that they have in you, to share that. Lord, I pray for courage for them. I pray for wisdom. I pray for strength and discernment, God. And Lord, may their voices be your voice. And may they look upon the people they encounter with compassion, just as Jesus saw the crowds and looked at them with compassion. But God, we pray for a harvest of souls who will one day be in your presence for all eternity. We want more worshipers in heaven, God. And in order for that to happen, men, women, boys, and girls must come to a saving knowledge of you. God, do a miracle. Do what only you can do. To the point where we look back and God say, God, only you could have done what took place in this place. God, we love you. We thank you for the called, stepping out and going in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
cancel before you. The silence above the standing grace. The heavens are roaring with the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the kingdom. What a powerful name, what a powerful name, the name of Jesus Christ, the King. What a powerful name, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name. What a powerful name, what a powerful name is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name is, the name of Jesus.
South Haven. Hey, in just a few minutes from now, I'm going to give an invitation, as the old timers would say, an altar call. But an invitation will be given here in just a short while, and it will be given, it will be a time for you to make things right with the Lord. There'll be a time for you to nail down your salvation, to express to the Lord that you want to repent of sin, to express to the Lord you want to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And this will be a more evangelistic sermon today. But this will be a time and an invitation given here in just a moment for you to make peace with God. So I'm asking everyone here today who has ears to hear to listen very intently, because this sermon I speak to you today comes out of a sense of urgency, it comes out of a sense of necessity, because if you would agree with me, we live in troubling times today. And I want to talk to you as if you were sitting down at my kitchen table, pull up a chair, and we could just talk some serious talk today about the trajectory of your life, your eternity. And where are you headed in the trajectory of your life? I want to talk to you today about your eternal destination. Specifically, what path are you on in life? And if we could just have that serious talk at my kitchen table, I would ask you this question. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you sure? Are you 100% certain that your name is written in God's book of life? And as you're pondering this huge question, I do not want you to base your answer upon your feelings. I do not want you to base your answer upon maybe what you did as a very young kid and you can't really remember that time frame. I don't want you to base the answer, is your name written in the book of life, upon was it your parents' faith or was it a baptism that you did? And I was helping a couple out just this last week, and they were getting some gas. It's a benevolent situation. And at the gas pumps, I asked the young man, I said, is your name written in the book of life? And I said, are you a Christ follower? And he said, what's a Christ follower? And I said, well, have you ever given your life to Jesus Christ? And the young man said, I've always been a Christian. And I told him that was impossible for you to always be a Christian. There has to be a time in your life where you repented of your sin. You recognized that you were a sinner, that you were dead from Christ, you were an enemy of the cross, and that you came to Christ. Nicodemus, Jesus told him, he was a religious leader. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And at the end of this message, I want you to be able to answer, is your name written in the book of life, not based upon those feelings or past things that have happened to you, but I want you to base your answer upon what is written in God's book, upon the scriptures of what is fact, according to what God says is necessary for eternal life. And I want you to do an inspection of your life today. So here's the deal. You may have never, ever really seriously thought about your eternity. Your eternity, your eternal life, is so important to God. The Bible makes it clear to us that your eternity matters to God. And I'm praying that your eternity today, you will consider that it's important to you because God values your soul. Amen? He values your soul. Jesus said that your soul is worth more than this whole world put together. In Mark 8:36, Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his own soul? Your soul matters to God. And I've even entitled my sermon today, Destination Eternity. Now, if you have your Bible or your smartphone, I'm going to ask you to turn or open up or turn it on, whatever. But while you're looking up, Luke chapter 10, verses 16 through 20, let me give you a little precursor as to what was just taking place prior to this text today. Because Jesus, just prior to Luke 16, out of chapter 10, he was sending out, I'm going to call them 70 evangelists. Some manuscripts, your manuscript may say he sent out 72. Some manuscripts say that he sent out 70. We're going to go with 70 today. But he sent them out into every city and every place where Jesus was going to go and minister. And as he sent out these 70 guys, he gave them very specific instructions on what to say upon entering these homes and whom he would encounter. Jesus was saying, some of these homes are going to invite you to come in. Some of them you're going to have to, wipe the dust off your feet and move on. They're going to tell you to go away. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, he specifically told them, he said, to tell them this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. And I want to focus on that part today as well, because I believe the kingdom of God is more close today than it's ever been. I can say that 5 minutes from now, and that'll be a true statement again. But the kingdom of God is closer now than it's ever been. Now, with that as the backdrop, this brings us to my text today, and Jesus told these 70 guys these instructions. And if you would, let's stand in honor of reading God's holy text today. Luke chapter 10, verses 16, we'll start. The one who listens to me, or listens to you, listens to me. And the one who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, Jesus said, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice in that your names are recorded in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this text today that reminds us that all authority has been given to you, and that, Father, that today we can have the promise that our names are recorded in your book because we have confessed you with our mouth, we have believed in our heart that you're raised from the dead. Father, we are yours, and Father, we want to be a spokesperson for you every day by our lives, our holiness of our lives. And today, Father, if there's someone here who the Holy Spirit is talking to that their name is not written in the book of life, I pray that they will leave this place transformed from deadness to life today as they walk out of this building. So, Father, would you speak and would you have your way? Would you be our teacher? Lord, we confess our sin, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would make us holy and vessels of you, the use of you today. Would you take the words of my mouth? Lord, would you bring glory to the name of Jesus? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. My question to you today is, what is the trajectory of your life? I've placed a slide up here that says, what is a trajectory? Because I think we need to understand what a trajectory is. Because when I talk about a trajectory, I talk about, it says it's a path followed by a projectile flying or an object moving under action or given forces. So in other words, if I want this ball to go a long way, I can throw it really hard and put a lot of force and action behind it, and it'll go all the way to those back doors. But if I want it just to go a little ways, Mike, throw on back there to me, get a big projectile. You got it. You almost made it. But that illustrates my point exactly, because what I want to talk to you about today is the trajectory of your life. And I want you to focus on what is the trajectory of your life. Sometimes our trajectory is on, sometimes it's off. The Bible says that your life is eternal. It has no end. The Bible affirms the trajectory of your life by saying that there are two destinations of our life. Number one, trajectory, the Bible says, is heaven. The second trajectory could be hell. And today, if you've not already nailed down your eternity, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and that you will choose wisely, because there are some trajectories of paths that you may be on that are very unwise and actually can be very lethal for you and your eternity. I want to tell you a story that happened real quick about my brother and I. I was about 12 years old. And this story illustrates a trajectory, because we went up to Grant City, Missouri, where my cousins live, Chris and Jason. They have about a 100-acre farm. They have this large hill, and then down at the bottom of this hill was a pond, and we had a 22. My brother Greg, which you all know, he was the one shooting, and we saw a snake crossing a pond. And we're up high on the hill, we're shooting down at a pond, and he levels down on this snake at the top of the hill, and he shoots down into that pond. And what took place will have ever changed our lives and how we hunt and fish from this day forward, because when he shot at that snake, it hit the water of the pond, and it ricocheted off the water, and it followed the course of the hill going back up the hill, and at the top of that arrow up there on the second sign, the critical departure angle, there was a trailer where a family was living. And that bullet skipped across that water, went up the hill, had to have grazed the ground by 5 inches up, perfectly up this hill to do this. But the bullet went right through the front door of this man's trailer. Now, little did we know, this didn't happen, but we found out real fast that it happened, because all of a sudden we heard a man cussing obscenities at us from afar off, and we're like, what is that man yelling at us about? My dad and Uncle Ronnie got in the car. They went over to his house to find out what he was yelling at us about. And he showed them the bullet hole right through the middle of his door. They were in the TV room, luckily. That could have been a terrible trajectory, a lethal trajectory, had that have hit somebody standing in front of or behind that door. And I'm telling you that the trajectory of that bullet could have been lethal. And what we thought was a safe shot turned out to be a critical error. And let me bring application to the story today, because it could have been a potentially terrible story. every day, you are moving to your eternal destination. And my question to you today is, what trajectory are you on? And are you, you're just one decision away from an eternal mistake if you are choosing to live your life apart from Jesus. Remember the rich man and the poor man Lazarus? I think about this story in Luke chapter 16. They both died and they went their respective places, respective eternal places. Lazarus went to heaven, the rich man went to Hades or hell. And I want to point you to Scripture today because I thought about telling this story, but I thought Scripture portrayed a more lethal story of what's in store for you if you reject Jesus and the agony of the rich man in this story. In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, it starts off and it says, "In Hades, the man, the rich man, was in torment. He looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied and said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm that's been set in place so that those who want to go from where you are to here cannot, and nor can anyone cross over from here there to us.' And he answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone were to come back and rise from the dead.'" So listen up, folks. Heaven and hell are really 18 inches apart. Did you realize the distance from your head to your heart is 18 inches? You can have a head knowledge about the Lord, but unless it's seeped into your heart, unless you truly believe it, that you really confess it, that you confess it every day of your life, that you're living a life that represents that you have turned from sin himself and you've turned to God, you may fool some people, but you're not fooling God. James 2, 19 says this. It says, "You have faith, for you believe that there's one God? Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror." You see, the faith of the demons is useless. Even though they tremble at what they know to be true, the demons' faith is useless. And people who say they believe in God, while showing that there's no evidence of faith in their life, no fruit in their life, they're living a life with the same belief level as that of the demons. But let me proclaim to you today, there is a glorious hope for everyone in my listening ear. As you're online, or if you're in this room, there is hope for you, and you will never find your destiny until you find your bridge. And the bridge for every one of us is Jesus Christ. Today, I want to ask you perhaps the most important question that you'll ever be asked. What is the trajectory of your life? Do you know for certain that your name has been written in God's book of life? The choice is yours. And I pray that you will choose wisely today where you'll spend your eternity, because your soul has eternal value. It's why God went to extreme lengths to die for you on a cross. And I do not want you to be deceived today, because Satan also is stalking you. He is hunting you. He's hunting for your soul. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that as believers, we are to have sound judgment. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Yes, Satan is not only a roaring lion, but Satan also is a thief. And he desires to steal your soul. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, 'I come that you might have life and life to the full.'" Satan comes to steal your soul. He wants to kill your joy. He wants to destroy your witness. So the most important question you can ask yourself today is, where will I spend my eternity? What is the trajectory of the path that I'm living on? The choice is yours. God has not made you a puppet. He's not going to force himself on you today. You must choose him. He will not force him. This is your choice. Joshua said it best in Joshua 24:15. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land that you dwell. But then Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want you to understand something, that God does not send people to hell. People send themselves to hell. God has done everything necessary for you to have salvation. He has gone to great lengths for you to have salvation. God desires that none would perish, but that all would come to eternal life. Salvation can be yours, but you must repent of your sin, and you must turn to Jesus Christ. The great theologian C.S. Lewis said once, he said that the doors of hell are locked on the inside. What C.S. Lewis was really trying to imply here was that people place themselves in hell, and it's not God who places them there. If you want to end up apart from God and you want to have nothing to do with God, think about that verse where there's a great banquet table. He says, I pray that you'll have me excused. And God eventually just granted that request. If you want to be alienated from God, and if that's what you want, God to have nothing to do with your life and live a life totally separate from him, he'll give you that prayer and he'll answer that prayer. But God says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, he says, God says that all at just the right time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Did you catch that? Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that tomorrow is not promised. So I want to cast a picture of eternity, and I want you to take a great inspection, a great look at your life, and inspect your life and see if you're in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says to every person, test yourselves and see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Every person in this room, every person who's online listening to me, has a destiny. And make no mistake about your destiny. Your destiny goes way beyond this life. It's eternal. Jesus teaches that there are two paths of our destiny. There's a broad way, and there's a narrow way. Jesus says in Matthew 7:13-14, he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many enter in through that gate. Oh, do not leave here today without giving thought as to what road you're presently traveling. There's many of people who try to convince themselves and justify themselves that they're on the narrow way, when in fact, in an honest inspection and an evaluation of their life, they find that there's really no fruit, there's really no evidence of a holy walk with the Lord. What road, what path, what is the trajectory of your life? Would you please give thought to that? The invitation is getting closer. It's coming in just a short while. I want to invite you now to transport you into a courtroom, a legal courtroom. And you are on trial. And they're trying to determine if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower. And the judge and the jury is set. The jury is your family. The jury is your peers, your co-workers, and those who know you best. And they're all listening to stories about your life, accumulated evidences and testimonies about your life. And it comes down to this question: is there enough evidence before this judge, this jury, to convict you of being guilty that you're a Christ follower? Today, if you are a Christ follower, one of the greatest promises from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is found in our text today. He says, rejoice because your names have been recorded in heaven. Is your name have been recorded in heaven? Are you rejoicing because of that? Is there a difference in your life? Does your life reflect this change and this person, Jesus Christ, living inside you? Did you realize that there are books in heaven? There are books that will be opened in heaven? I think one of the greatest places to look at this is in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. It says in Revelation 20, 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades had given up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." How can you be sure today that your name has been written in the book of life? And here's the answer. It's found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. "If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Saved from what? Saved from our sin. Saved from alienation from the Lord. We are all desperately seeking happiness in this life and a purpose in this life. We live in an age where people try to fill up this void in their life through chasings after the things under the sun, emptiness of pills or gambling, pot, money, sex, temporal relationships, sports. All these things lead to hollowness and temporal satisfaction. And dissatisfaction is very near at the root of all kinds of sin. It's why people cheat on their spouse. It's why people abuse drugs and alcohol, mindlessly scroll through the internet. They are dissatisfied. And all these things tend to land short and fall short. They're seeking everything except Jesus Christ to fill the void of their life. But I've come here today to tell you that where there's a poor man, he can find hope. Where there's a sick man, he can get well. I'm here today to tell you that where there's a dead person, he can find life. And where people held in captivity can find freedom in Christ. I come here today to preach a message to you today that Jesus is the name above all names, and you need Jesus to fill the void of your life. Scripture in Philippians 2, verses 8 through 10 says this, says, "And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus, he humbled himself, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but his end is destruction." You see, Jesus is the name above all of the names. And there's one day where you will confess that Jesus is Lord. And I pray that on this planet Earth, while there's time, you will receive Christ as your Savior and proclaim it now before it's too late. Philippians 2:11, that at that name, Jesus, every knee would bow, heaven on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have you proclaimed in the depths of your soul that Jesus is Lord? Have you proclaimed every day that Jesus is Lord by the way that you shine your light before men? By the way that your mouth speaks around your fellow workers at work? Is your mouth telling others that you're a Christ follower? By the patterns of your day, how you treat other people? By the thoughts that you think, is Jesus Lord of your life? And I come today to explain how salvation is offered to anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. Salvation is a word of hope. But hope is not just a word. It's a reality made possible by Jesus himself. And your salvation is the most basic aspect of the Christian life. And the good news I proclaim to you today is that salvation is available, and it's available to anyone who will call. John 3:16, great verse just to share, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, put their faith in him, would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. The invitation is now upon us. And I want to use the words of the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians 5:20, 21. He says, I am as an ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled, be made right with God, for he has made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, how God wants to take away your sin. He wants to throw your sin as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says he takes your sin and he puts it in the hall of his back where he sees it no more. He places it in a sea of forgetfulness. Do not push away the prompting of the Holy Spirit today. If you feel the nudging of the Spirit of God telling that you need your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this invitation that's about to happen, I pray that you would make peace with God and make sure with certainty that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The God of this universe wants a relationship with you, and if you're not certain that your name's written, I pray that you would do business with the Lord today. The invitation is here. God is waiting. And I'm praying that today there will be no obstacles. Don't think about what the person in front of you will think. Don't think about, oh, I'll do this later. If God is telling you, you need to do business with him. This altar, this invitation is for you to come and make things right and to nail down your salvation, because your soul is eternal. And you do not want to enter into eternity without Jesus. If this is you today, I'm going to say a simple prayer right now. And if this is the desire of your heart, of your soul, to know and nail it down, I pray you should pray something like this. Would you pray with me? Oh, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need you to forgive me of my sin. And as best as I know how, I come before you right now, and I repent of my sin. I turn from my sin. And Father, I need help to be a Christ follower after you and to be passionately in love with you. I give my life to you, Jesus. Would you come and save my life? I confess you with my mouth that you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. And Father, from this day forward, I am yours, and I want to live for you and follow you. An instrument used of you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that prayer, this song that Scott's about to sing, it's time for you to repent and come and do business with God. I'll be at the front. We have encouragers here at the front. And you come at this time. Scott, would you lead us?
And sing.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart.
people respond here at South Haven is they usually call us at the office during the week and they say, you know, I was gripping the back of the chair. I was really wanting to come forward, but I was just afraid to. And I have to say this, that one of the best ways is to call us up as pastors and say, hey, could we go to McDonald's and have a Coke and just have a drink over some Pepsis or whatever and have lunch? And let me talk to you about what's going on in my life. And if that's you today and you want to talk some serious talk, like at that kitchen table, and nail down your eternity, nail down your salvation, I'm praying that you'll make that call this week. And we'd gladly meet with you in the office or go out to Burger King, wherever you want to go, and have lunch. And we'll sit down and talk about things that are eternal. And another thing, I'd just say this. When was the last time you shared with somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you led somebody in the Scriptures and helped them come to find everlasting life? Has it been 2 weeks ago? 2 years ago? 20 years ago? You've never done that before? You'd like to know how? This Wednesday night at 6:30, we're teaching a class on evangelism. How do you share a simple gospel message that people respond to? How do you deal with that hard neighbor? How do you deal with that hard coworker? What are some ways you can start conversations help guide them to a spiritual conversation? That will be this Wednesday night, 6:30, up in room 200. I'll be teaching that class on simple ways to share the gospel. I pray that you'll come this Wednesday night. Scott, would you give us final instructions and lead us out of here?
All right. Thank you, Victor. What a clear presentation of salvation, of the gospel. Thank you, brother. Man, this man, I see it every day. He lives it. He walks the walk and talks the talk, and I appreciate you, brother. Yes, don't leave here today without knowing that you have the assurance of salvation. We'll take 5-10 minutes of your time to walk through what you need to know, but don't leave here without knowing. There is a decision that everyone makes, either to accept Jesus as Savior or to reject Him. Don't leave this place without knowing you have that assurance. Hey, I want to just give some props before we head out. We've had teams every single week for the last few weeks come in early, and really early this morning because we all lost an hour. They came in early and set up these chairs for us so that we can have a place to sit, and I am so appreciative of that. Here's what I'm also grateful for. All of you, after the service, taking the chairs out. So guess what I'm leading to? You know, you all have helped us so much. If you can take a chair or two out, this section goes out to this hallway, this section goes out to the main lobby, this section goes out there. If you can help us out, I'll be at the pastor's table to talk to anyone who wants to talk. Victor and our counselors will be here to help you as well. God bless you. You're dismissed.